Antibiotic resistance is a race against time. When a doctor prescribes an antibiotic to fight a bacterial infection, the drug kills most of the targeted bacteria in the body. But some survive, mutate, and multiply.
It's just a speeding up of Darwinian evolution among the microbial world.
Michael Osterholm is the head of the website ICAN Inc., a provider of infectious disease information to healthcare professionals. He's also the former state epidemiologist with the Minnesota Department of Health. Osterholm says eventually all bacteria develop resistance to antibiotics, but excessive use speeds up the process.
What the antibiotic resistance problem of today really presents us with is a return back to those days when we didn't have any antibiotics, because now if you can't treat the infections because the old antibiotics are not working anymore, that is something that as a society we're not really prepared for. We are so used to having conquered the bugs that it's hard for us to imagine going back to those times.
Osterholm says there are several ways to limit antibiotic use. First, he says physicians should stop prescribing the drugs for illnesses incurable by antibiotics, such as colds or bronchitis. A study by the Centers for Disease Control says up to 40% of antibiotic prescriptions are unnecessary. Osterholm says patients with the sniffles or a sore throat should stop demanding the drugs. And then there's the agricultural use of antibiotics. Livestock producers proudly show their cattle, poultry, and hogs in Minnesota State Fair competitions each summer. The goal for many of these contestants, and for livestock producers in general, is to raise the healthiest and largest animals. One fast way to trigger better health and growth is called subtherapy. In subtherapy, farmers mix low levels of antibiotics into farm feed. Dennis Swan is a Southwest Minnesota beef cattle rancher. He says low levels of antibiotics keep his animals healthy.
If you didn't, you would have a lot more pulls and you'd have to feed the individuals a lot heavier doses of it. I would say that it would cut my pulls at least 50 to 60%. When I'm talking about pulls them into the sick pen to treat a sick animal, that's the reason I do it, to prevent that. I use it as a preventive, not as a treatment.
Subtherapy is so common, the Food and Drug Administration says 50% of U.S.-produced antibiotics are used on the farm. And in some cases, the drugs used in farm feed are the same antibiotics used to treat human illnesses. Since bacteria develop resistance to antibiotics over time, scientists fear that exposing germs to low levels of antibiotics will dramatically speed up the resistance process. And since the bugs are developing on the farm, scientists worry superbugs will get into the food supply and become a threat to farm workers.
We were kind of creating an ideal place for this organism to thrive.
On his Dodge County farm in 1984, Mike Noble used a variety of antibiotics to treat an E. coli outbreak among his hogs. The strain survived 6 different antibiotics. Each day, Noble's family would round up the hogs and deliver the antibiotics orally. Noble's 6-year-old son helped. One night, the child developed a high fever and stomach pains. Doctors suspect a resistant strain of E. coli had entered the boy's body. Noble said his son's illness wouldn't respond to any treatment.
It took a few more days for me to realize that, you know, what have I done? As a father, as a farmer to my family, I'm sitting here with an only child, and I'm running a system that hasn't been working for me, and it actually is endangering the lives of my family. No one ever warned me or told me that that's a possibility.
Noble's son is healthy now, but he wonders why the FDA has waited so long to address antibiotic use. Scientists have called for a ban on the use of certain antibiotics on the farm since the 1970s. The FDA refused to implement the ban, deciding there wasn't enough scientific evidence to support it. Scientists now believe they have the proof that agricultural use of antibiotics contributes to human health problems. In a lab at the Minnesota Department of Health, epidemiologists test antibiotics' effectiveness on certain strains of bacteria. In petri dishes, a moss-colored film fills the container. The film is living bacteria. In some dishes, a clear circle surrounds a tablet. In others, the film envelops the tablet. Those circles around the pill means the antibiotic has killed the bacteria. In the others, the antibiotic has no effect on the bugs. These bugs have become resistant.
So this one is, you know, it's resistant to to the sulfas, trimethoprim sulfa.
Kirk Smith is a state epidemiologist. Last year, he and Michael Osterholm published the first major paper in the U.S. linking antibiotic use on the farm to the dinner plate. Smith says they tested Campylobacter, the most common form of foodborne illness in the country. For years, doctors prescribed fluoroquinolones to fight the bacteria, but Smith says the drug has lost some of its effectiveness. In 1992, 1.2% of the Campylobacter cases in Minnesota were resistant to the drug. In 1998, Campylobacter resistance jumped to 10%. The increase occurred after the FDA approved the drug for farm use in 1995.
Part of the evidence that we were able to show was that the resistant strains that we found in chickens in grocery stores basically had identical DNA fingerprints as the resistant strains recovered from humans that were acquired here in Minnesota.
Fluoroquinolones are commonly used to treat many stomach disorders. Resistance to the drug means doctors have to experiment with other antibiotics. As a result, stronger antibiotics are used to combat common infections. Over time, those stronger antibiotics will lose their effectiveness. The Food and Drug Administration is under pressure to act.
Moving aggressively and in fact has instituted a number of practices already.
Dr. Steven Sundloff is the director of the Center for Veterinary Medicine at the Food and Drug Administration. He says the FDA has developed a preliminary set of regulations on agricultural antibiotic use. Sundloff says the agency is considering a mandatory resistance testing for all new human and animal antibiotics. He says antibiotics used in both animals and humans will also receive scrutiny. Sundloff says a ban on antibiotics that show bacterial resistance is possible.
The general scientific community is in agreement that there is a problem. Again, there is not consensus on what the magnitude of the problem is, but the FDA considers it to be their responsibility.
Lobbyists for the agricultural industry oppose any new guidelines. They say restricting antibiotics use will threaten the food supply and increase production costs for farmers. The FDA will take public comment on the proposed regulations next month and expects to unveil a new policy early next year. I'm Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio.